listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough.
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough.
Am I the baddest mofo go down around this town?
Sure enough.
Well, who am I?
Sure enough.
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters! I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters, issue 97 of Geek Watch 1.
97, man.
97 issues, dude.
Oh.
Wow.
Three more to go!
That's right.
That's
we got a very special issue for issue 100.
We're gonna keep the 100 for show.
That's right.
You ain't know? Watch us go.
Kylan's in a mood tonight. Because I think part of it is because we're at the Malta Meeple again.
We are. I love Malta Meeple, man. I love it more than I love Fraggle Rock.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, I don't care.
Really?
About
you don't like dancing your cares away?
I love that much.
Save your cares for another day?
You know what? See, I just proved something. Fraggle Rock was a knockoff Footloose. There you go. I said it right there. Fraggle Rock was a knockoff what? What?
They weren't not allowed to dance.
They actually encouraged dancing on that show.
Because they, you know what? Know why? Because Kevin Bacon freed everybody. Reverend Bacon said, free yourself, dance the night away. And then everybody like at Fraggle Rock, that's like post-Bacon.
So it's not a spinoff, it's a sequel.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly, it's a sequel. It's Footloose 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Well, Geeksters, like I said, welcome back to issue 97 of Geek Watch 1. We are actually at the Meeple today again, and,
Kylan's broken.
Yeah, Kylan's already broken for the show.
But this to Electric Boogaloo!
The thing is, that works for any TV show, movie, anything.
I would like to point out, Fraggle Rock premiered before Footloose.
Want to know why?
So a year before.
No. That's where Footloose got the idea.
No. Here's what happened. See, Kevin Bacon went back in time. He saw Fraggle Rock. He said, oh, you know what? I'm doing one better. And then he's like, never mind.
Why would Kevin Bacon?
Hold on.
Would
you have, Vicky?
I was
going to
say, Fraggle Rock was in the Reverend's closet. That's where he got the idea.
Actually, Fraggles did live in the baseboard of a room.
That's true.
They could have lived in the back of his closet.
So the Fraggles got him to start dancing?
Stop dancing. It was the little dudes because they were destroying their house.
Traveling Mac could have wound up there.
That's true. So Footloose is actually Fraggle Rock 2 Electric Boogaloo? Is that what you're saying? Bart, is that what you're saying?
Sure.
They don't have to be Electric Boogaloo.
It does have to be Electric Boogaloo.
At some point, I'm going to have to find a copy of Breakin' 2. Just because it's been used so many times everywhere, that 2.
Have you ever seen Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo? You need to see
that's
that.
That's why I said he has to find a copy.
That's what I just said. I gotta find it. Yeah, I bet your library has it.
Probably. But does most libraries have Breaking 2?
I have never even heard of either of those movies.
So, have you ever seen Karate Kid? What other ones were like that? All these other ones.
Karate Kid was nothing like Breaking 2.
What I'm saying, the genre where the whole movie is based around like one thing, like dancing, or they have the new Step Up movies, all those ones. Breaking was that.
There
in the
was
80s
rapping.
Break dancing.
There was rapping. There was breaking. There was
lots of break dancing.
There was the awesome
really bad 80s fashions.
There was the awesome breakdancing movie that Lorenzo Lamas did called Body Rock. There you go, right there.
Breakdancing and Lorenzo Lamas. I can't miss movie.
See, you gotta remember, in the 80s, breakdancing was a movie genre.
There you go.
Yeah, it really was.
That's sad.
So, well, they, like I said, they've moved it up to that with Beat all these Step In and all these other dance movies now. Are basically the same thing those were in the 80s.
Yes. Yes. Beat Street, that was a good one. I saw Beat. Don't look at me like that. Beat Street was
you
good.
You saw Dirty Dancing, too.
I never seen Dirty Dancing.
You I've never
seen
Dirty Dancing.
No. You wonder why? Let me tell you why. Because I love Patrick Swayze, okay?
So you didn't watch the show?
No, I didn't.
But he started as a dancer.
No. He was actually tough in that movie, too.
No. Let me explain, okay? My first Patrick Swayze movie was Roadhouse, okay?
Okay.
That was Roadhouse. Now, and that was after he was in... There was a TV series where he played this gang member.
Wait. How old were you when Roadhouse came out?
I was like...
Oh, yeah, you're old.
I was like 15, 16 years old. Whatever. I am not old.
Okay, I just broke Bart.
You broke Bart. Calling him old.
Whatever. See, the world knows the truth. I ain't worried about that. Anyway.
Oh, it's not the fact that he called. The fact that that fact even exists. It's the fact that Ken just sat there and told you that
you're old. No, you're old. I'm like, no, I ain't old. I ain't old today right now. Now, I'm going to be old like 5 minutes before I die. That's when I'm going to be old. Anyway, just saying. I saw, Steel Justice, which was another awesome straight-to-DVD Patrick Swayze movie because it's straight up action.
At the time, it was straight to tape.
It was straight to tape.
Yes, it's straight to DVD.
Sorry.
Straight to video.
Straight to video.
There was a lot of post-production in that movie that took them like 20 years to get from when they made the movie till they actually released it on DVD.
Yeah, that's true. And so I was like, I had seen enough Swayze at that point that I didn't need to see Dirty Dancing. I didn't need to see him be all sweet and romantic because he had already released She's Like
a Wind. No, if you ever watch that movie, he's not all that romantic.
No, but doesn't matter.
He's a jerk in that movie.
No, because y'all trying to get me to watch this movie, and I ain't going to watch it.
See, the thing is, though, I don't like the movie, so right. I'm not going to force you to watch it, because then I'll have to sit there and watch it.
See, I saw Ghost. I've done mine. I saw Ghost.
Oh, no.
I saw Ghost.
No, Ghost is not even in the same, near the
He has
same
suffered
movie.
Enough.
I saw Ghost.
Ghost was almost equally horrendous.
Almost.
So,
no, I'd say Ghost was worse. Ghost was a romance movie.
But Ghost had the saving grace of Whoopi Goldberg.
Well.
And revenge.
You don't get that in Dirty Dancing.
But in Ghost, you get revenge. And somebody gets pulled to hell. I'm sorry. In Ghost, somebody gets pulled to hell. Did anybody get pulled to hell in Dirty Dancing? No. Wrong.
The souls.
How do you know? You didn't watch it.
You haven't watched it. You don't know.
Maybe the person who put Baby in the corner.
Yeah.
You know what? Nobody puts Baby in the corner.
See,
I know that.
But see, you should watch Dirty Dancing.
Why?
Because Agent Coulson's wife is in it.
Doesn't matter.
That's why you should watch it.
No. You know why?
Only fully because respect Agent Coulson.
Then I will watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I will watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off because Agent Coulson's wife is in Ferris
That's
Bueller's
true.
Day Off,
yes.
And she kicks somebody in the face three times.
How
well,
do you
technically,
know she
one
do
time
that in Dirty Dancing.
I don't need to know that. There's certain things that you don't need to know, like being punched in the word that sounds like ain't. You don't need to know that. That's a bad thing. You don't need to know that.
The ways Kylan gets around cursing on the show.
Yeah. See? And
rhymes
that
rhymes with.
It rhymes with. So, kids, just say no, stay in school, and hug your mamas at night.
Wow.
And in the morning, and in the afternoon.
We strayed so far off, you think this was the Tangent Bound podcast.
What were we supposed to be talking about?
I don't even know. Where did we start?
We were supposed to be talking about Disney Princess.
Okay.
Well, no. We are actually here on the show, the main topic, we are going to talk Beauty and the Beast and other Disney remakes, but mainly
right.
Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
Yes.
We've gone right past what we did this week at this point.
You know what? Footloose may have been released by Miramax or Buena Vista, so I think that sort of, like, slides right in.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Even Disney adjacent.
Everything back in the 80s was either Miramax or Buena Vista.
That's true.
Or TriStar. No, TriStar's
Canon. Called. Yeah, Canon.
But Canon's not around. Who bought the Canon library?
Oh, gosh.
You know, I don't remember.
Actually, Golden Globus bought Canon.
Yeah, but then someone bought them.
They still have it.
No, Golden Globus isn't even around anymore, are they?
No, but they still own it.
Oh.
They still own it.
I didn't think of you this week, my brother.
Well, I'm doing what?
We were flipping through looking for something to watch on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Buckaroo Banzai's on Amazon Prime.
There you go. No excuses, people.
I'm totally rewatching that again before I can.
Thank
well,
you.
See, I have it on DVD, so I can watch it anytime I want, mm-hmm. but...
That's right. Plam.
Mm-hmm. Can I get one of the Wolverines?
The milkshakes this month, the guys are awesome. But they end this week, though, don't they? Or today?
I mean, we're probably going to have the ingredients, so...
Okay. Because,
peanut butter banana, people! Order Wolverine!
Well, yeah. The milkshakes of the month here is the meatball.
We have a lot of banana ingredients, so...
Then that one should never go away. Wolverine should always be on the menu.
Well, hey, if
we'll
we do a good job,
peanut
it'll
butter,
win.
So...
Okay, that sounds awesome. Well, peanut butter is good to anything.
Yeah,
true.
So,
we have a lot of secret menu items.
All right. There you go. I just got another secret.
That's right. But the milkshake of the month for this week, or for this past month, Geeksters, was the X-Men.
Yeah,
Wolf. How's Harley Quinn on it?
Harley Quinn was the winner from last month.
Oh, okay. It was DC last month?
Yeah.
Okay.
The villains were last month.
Ah, okay. Well,
and
this
month it was X-Men with the three of them.
Exactly. It's Wolverine, Professor Xavier, and Storm.
Apparently, now, you haven't come here often enough to know how the milkshake thing works.
I don't have time to walk out my front door half the time. If I'm walking out, I'm going somewhere. But the Wolverine is peanut butter chocolate. I mean, you can't lose.
Banana.
Yeah, peanut butter banana. Okay.
He can't even get it right. He's looking right at it.
I know.
No love by peanut butter banana? The king?
That's true. It could be the Elvis. It could be the Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Handles has an Elvis ice cream
user. See, they do?
Yeah.
Now I'm picturing Wolverine.
I had the Elvis waffle at Wally Waffle last night.
Yes, Wolverine in a gold lame jumpsuit standing on stage with the microphone.
That's not too much of a reach considering the mutton chops that Elvis had at one point.
Wait, did we find Wolverine's father?
No, Elvis doesn't go back that far.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
He could be Elvis's father.
He could be Elvis's father. Yeah, that's right. Elvis could be his son.
So, now there's another interesting direction.
But, fan fiction.
Yeah, well, we do have an announcement or two. Remember, stay tuned for the episode 100. We got a special guest we're going to have on there. Mm-hmm. And we haven't quite exactly nailed it down yet. So probably next week we'll let you guys know about this once we actually have it in stone. Sounds like making announcements and then possibly something changes.
That's right.
No, I'll say it's in stone. It's just a matter of... when?
Well, it's up to you.
No, we don't want to let people know. They got to tune in.
I don't tell me. I'm just saying it's going to happen. It's like telling somebody.
Spoiling.
Keep teasing it.
Beauty and the Beast.
That's right.
That's right.
But, and then what else we got for the show coming up? We have our next actual major events. We're doing the Oddball still. May 6th and 7th. Or 6th, yeah, 6th and 7th. And then May 20th.
That's right.
I do have the dates right. For once.
Yeah.
What else do we have coming up for the show?
That's all for the moment.
Yeah. We will be Geeksters, go see Ghost in the Shell. I think it comes out this week, doesn't it?
I believe it comes out this Thursday, Friday.
In 2 weeks, we're going to spot it. Now, we got to learn a bunch of Ghost in the Shell, but we don't talk anime on here.
That's true.
Right.
So we're going to actually check this out. I know I've already talked to Cameron. He's going to sit in with us because he actually has seen all the Ghost in the Shell and has all this knowledge and stuff. He's our otaku kid anyway.
Right.
So he knows all this stuff.
Ghost in the Shell is a great show.
Yeah. I think Jessie said she might be able to sit on that one, too.
Cool.
So we'll have some actual anime people in here.
It's been years. Like, I've only seen, like, the original movie, but it's been years.
Yeah.
Like, I saw it when, like, first came out.
I saw it in the 90s, like, when it was released here in America.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only thing I've seen from it. But I know the trailers look awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They do.
So, but other than that, Dawn, what do we have coming up? Or what's going on in news?
We just did that part.
Yeah.
Well, actually, interestingly, speaking of anime, I figured I would mention just quickly that if anyone is into Death Note and doesn't already know it, Netflix has a live-action movie coming in August, and the trailer was released this past week. So you can catch that. But if you're really into Death Note, you may not like how the trailer looks, because there's been a lot of complaints all over the place from fans about how it looks. So I have no idea. The trailer looked okay to me, but I'm not into the anime. Yeah. So. another quickie that I know Andy said he already bought tickets for. Guardians of the Galaxy is doing a double feature on opening day.
With the original and then with...
You can see the original and the sequel. But it starts at 4:30, which really sucks. On a Thursday, it starts at 4:30. But of course, they have to get both movies in with an intermission in the middle, so...
But usually, if they do the the marathons and stuff, they start at like 5, 6 a.m. on a weekday.
Well, when they do the when they do the really long
that's
running
not,
ones,
that's
yeah.
really not that crazy.
So for a double feature, it's not bad. I was hoping they'd also play them like throughout that weekend, but they're not. It's only on the opening night.
You know what you might be able to find? Because that opens when? In May, 4th. Right? May 4th? The drive-ins will be running by then. They may run some double features to the drive-ins.
Yeah, the drive-ins might do it. Yeah.
I already talked to Vicky. We're going to be doing a lot of drive-in this summer, I think.
So, there's that one. The only other stuff I had was kind of Spider-Man related, isn't it?
Yeah.
That we already talked about the Venom spinoff.
Yeah.
That they're doing. Well, it has been officially categorized as an action horror sci-fi.
Okay.
And slated thus far, though not officially confirmed, but slated to be an R-rated movie.
Okay.
And they just announced today that they're looking to start production in the fall. Which isn't surprising, because they're supposed to release it like a year from this fall. So.
And of course, I saw today that Sony put out that the Spider-Man trailer comes tomorrow as of recording.
Yes, it does. Spider-Man... I think it's ridiculous they keep putting out trailers telling you when the trailers are coming.
They did that last week with
the horrible Justice League trailer.
See,
saying,
I liked it.
Saying that, in 2 days you get to see the trailer. Yeah. Well, shut up and just show me the trailer. So they did the same thing with Spider-Man, giving a teaser which shows a bit of tech. The spider emblem on his chest is actually tech, and it's a spider drone
Some
type. It actually comes off his chest and goes flying off.
Sweet.
He stole that from Stark.
So it's
okay. Stark.
Yeah, Stark's the one who built his costume.
It's all Stark tech.
So we have that, and then in other Spider-Man spin-off news, there's also going to be a Black Cat and Silver Sable movie.
Okay. Good God Almighty!
And Kyle's looking forward to that already. they're both females, and of course, very tight outfits.
Silver Sable kicks butt.
They do. But. They actually. It'll be a hardcore action movie, I think.
Yeah,
it is.
But they've actually said that both the Venom and the Black Cat Silver Sable movies have nothing to do with Spider-Man Homecoming, aside from the fact that that's Marvel and these are Sony. They're not spin-offs of that. They're actually just spin-offs from the Spider-Man universe as a whole.
Okay.
So they'll actually
be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe in general.
They're not pulling from that story or connecting to it at all. But
it'll
be
the way that the Netflix series are tied in.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, Venom is something that could be completely separate anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be
that one,
and stuff.
To do a Venom movie right, you have to have Spider-Man in there.
No, you don't. they can't use Spider-Man now because they gave it to Marvel. So unless they have their joint agreement where they're making a movie together again.
See, I would not be surprised if Marvel wasn't doing this the same way they're doing the Spider-Man movies, where Marvel's doing the writing and stuff.
No, it's all Sony.
Huh.
Yep.
That's sort of like what they did with Deadpool.
Marvel wants Spider-Man as the shiny happy one. Right. So they don't really want to pull him into Venom if it's going to be an action horror sci-fi.
Yeah.
the only thing is Venom is like at least his outer image. Mm-hmm. Is inspired by Spider-Man.
Well,
so.
It is.
Well, that's because
originally
it was Spider-Man.
But right. It doesn't mean there can't be some reference.
That's something that has to be at least a reference.
There's some reference, but it doesn't pull directly from those movies at all.
No.
I'll just say they killed him.
Yeah.
Spider-Boy now.
That's really all the news I had. There's not a lot of big news out there. I did have some box office news related to Beauty and the Beast.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in a minute.
So we'll wait
I got another one that came out today that. Warner Brothers and HTC Vive, which, do you guys know what HTC Vive is?
Nope.
It's basically HTC's, I believe it's their part of the company that has to do with VR and all their VR tech.
Okay.
Right.
Well, they're working with Warner Brothers, who's putting out Ready Player One, and made an exclusive arrangement to actually put all of, the HTC Vive is going to be developing VR content to go with the release of the movie next March. Which makes sense to anybody who's read Ready Player One. Mm-hmm. This movie is basically about a virtual world.
Yep.
The oasis in this is everything you never thought VR would ever be.
Mm-hmm.
This may be one of the... this will be probably the first of a modern... If this is done correctly, I could see this movie spinning off an entire new genre... Well, not new genre, but reawakening the cyberpunk genre of movies.
Maybe.
Because the book is straight cyberpunk.
No, it's not.
Well, it's close. Because it's all virtual worlds and...
Yeah, but that's not what cyberpunk is.
But without the... cybernetic tech.
Yeah, exactly.
Cyberpunk is a lot more cybernetics, yeah. But still, it's like
cybernetics.
There is cybernetics in it. It's just done.
It's kind of kind of closer to like a Tron sort of thing because you know being in the game and that kind of thing.
This is everything Tron should have been.
Yeah, it'll be there, yeah.
But, and like I said, when they announced this movie, I don't know how they're going to get licenses to do this movie right. Because if you name something in Geekdom, it's in this book.
Yeah.
And I know Will Wheaton already signed on to play himself. And if you've read the book, Will Wheaton is the president of the Oasis, which is the internet.
That's right. And we're only a year away from the movie. It's end of March 2018 it comes out.
Well, the nice thing with this is said, agreement actually works for let me see, where is that here?
Well, casting took a while.
Yeah. Well, it said the content's available through Vivepoint, which is HTC's sales area, but it's going to distribute content globally across all VR in-home platforms like the Oculus Rift and those types of things. Mobile content for your mobile VR devices and high-end PC-based VR systems like your go-away to play VR in like an arcade.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's going to have stuff for all the different styles of VR that are out there now.
That's right.
Which is going to be awesome because VR back in like the 90s when it first started coming in was kind of cool when you could stand up and you had the like gun thing in your hand. And it was, for the 90s, it was great. Now you look at it now, it's like, nah, not so good.
Right.
But I guess from what I've heard about some of the Oculus Rift and what they've done with the arcades for the Oculus Rift and stuff, what they've done with that, and they've actually used the 360 trackball thing where you can walk,
right,
and it works like a treadmill, so you're walking in the game, and it's amazing. It's pretty much, because of the way graphics are now, it is just about totally immersive.
Yeah.
If you can afford to build a setup for that.
That's the thing. If things would get a little more affordable, this would be great tech for everybody to be able to see things this way.
The actual visor and stuff like that isn't that bad, really, if you think about it, because you can get Oculus Rift now, I think, for under $500. And you're in a computer for less than $1,000 that'll actually run the good tech for it.
Right.
Now, other peripherals are going to cost a little bit, but it's coming to a point where it's getting affordable.
Find people willing to buy that versus buying their console for games, though.
Yeah. Well, serious computer gamers, that's the type of stuff they're going to buy.
Yeah.
Now, console guys are not going to buy that anyway.
No.
Console guys are, except, I guess, PlayStation's VR is actually not that bad.
Yeah.
So it's getting
there. They're going to improve what's going on with
console. It's cool as we're seeing in our lifetime the tech that was Star Trek tech for when we were kids.
Yeah.
Is becoming now. Like, my boss just bought a 3D printer for $200.
Mm-hmm.
And it can actually build just about anything he wants, and it's just on a small size.
Yeah.
So for $200, you can get an actual good 3D printer. Now, if you want really big, you're going to pay more, obviously, but he's already prototyping parts for us at work.
Well, I mean, it was like in the early days of like VCRs and stuff. You had to pay $500 or $600 for the VHS ones and that, and then $50.
I was telling Vernon and Chrissy at work in describing what the size of the original CD players.
Uh huh.
And
no record album.
Take one of your larger computer towers, turn it on its side. Any of the kids that don't understand, turn it on its side, and that's about the size of an original CD player to play one CD.
Yes.
And it didn't have radio.
You're expecting kids out there to actually know what a computer tower is compared to just a laptop. Right. Now. You realize
Well,
that.
Most people don't know what a computer tower, but that's about the right size. So, no, I'm excited about this because I actually have a headset for my phone that I can actually use this stuff with. So, and that's actually getting cheap. The headset holders for your phone are anywhere from $10 to $25 now.
Yeah.
And the VR stuff I've seen in there is pretty darn good.
Right.
So, but is that all we had for the way of news and stuff?
There was not a lot of
news. Oh, Bart has something. Bart found something.
Yeah, apparently Rift Tracks just announced some of their shows. Mm-hmm. Going
they're
theaters.
Still doing Rift Tracks Live?
Yeah. And in August 17th and 24th, The Five Doctors.
Really?
The 20th anniversary special.
Oh!
That's what's cool about Rift Tracks is I've seen, it's like they're doing actual good movies and ripping them.
Wow.
But the fact that an older episode of Doctor Who is going to the theater.
That's all you need.
Movies that are usually considered to be good movies. Like, I think they did Independence Day and some of the other ones like that.
Yep.
Well, we saw, in the movies the other day, we saw they were going to do Rift Tracks on, but it was a bad Kung Fu movie.
Right.
It was like major legal or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it was. Yeah, and I was like, "Hey, you and Andy can go see that." And kind
I'm
of
like,
"No, I don't think so." Well,
what was it? It was sometime earlier this week, I think, that one of our favorite kung fu movies, the The Last Dragon, yep. 32 this past week.
Yep.
So, anybody who doesn't know who that is, if you've heard the beginning of our trailer, you've heard part of The Last Dragon.
Go Google Shownuff.
That's right.
Yes.
I wish I could actually find a good copy of that. I have a copy that I got, that I downloaded off the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't get that anywhere.
Yes, you can.
You can where?
I got it off of Amazon.
Apparently you weren't looking in the right place.
I got Amazon and the soundtrack.
Huh.
That's right.
I do have a couple of songs off the soundtrack. You gotta have the glow.
You gotta have the glow. You gotta have the glow.
You know how sick I got of that song when you got that soundtrack?
Now that we've talked about it, he's gonna be playing it on the way home.
He probably will.
I don't have it with me. He's at home.
Oh, yay. That's good. That's good news for everybody.
You didn't put it on your phone?
No. I don't play music on my phone. Unless
we don't waste space on our phones with music.
Unless I'm listening to either... I mean, I have a ton of different stations on Pandora.
Yeah. No. Google Play. Google Play Music. You can actually... If you download the...
I got Google Play on there.
Google Play Music Manager on your computer will actually upload like 20,000 songs up to the cloud and you can stream it.
Amazon.
And it's your content. Amazon,
you can
do that
play on Amazon.
Amazon
Prime, you can also upload your home catalog to Amazon Prime and then play it from there.
Well, then technically I got it on my phone.
So, but let's get into some Disney stuff.
Let's.
So this week, all of us, or hopefully everybody here, went and saw Beauty and the Beast.
We did.
Well, John didn't. But John doesn't talk much when he's here anyway. We got to open it up.
He's busy.
Yeah, he's busy eating. So, where do we want to start with this, Dawn? You have some facts and figures and stuff.
Yeah, I was just going to start with noting that now that it's been 2 weekends, for its second weekend, Beauty and the Beast ended up with just over $88 million.
That's it? Oh, no.
That's for the second weekend, which is the fourth largest second weekend of all time.
Nice.
Trailing only Force Awakens, Jurassic World, and The Avengers.
Okay.
And after just 10 days in North American theaters, Beauty and the Beast is already 55th on the all-time domestic list at $317 million.
Nice.
And it's the fourth largest 10-day domestic total ever.
Nice.
And
a lot of people were predicting this to be one of the largest releases ever in March, right behind Batman v Superman. Superman killed it last
once
year.
It hits fully internationally, it's going to go way up there.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, and we talked about how many good movies were out in March.
Yeah.
The March box office, with still having a few days left, has already hit $1 billion for the first time.
Wow. Well, that's it. Well, like we said, they loaded March this month.
They did.
And actually, you said there's still how many days left at this point for March?
But there's a few days left.
Yeah, there's... No, I don't...
the last day of March is Friday.
I thought Ghost in the Shell came out this month. Yeah, Ghost in the Shell is on top 4 days a week. So if Ghost in the Shell is actually... If that one hits like people are hoping it will, that's going to blow way too
better. They can count Ghost in the Shell from Thursday, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually is rivaling your May, June stuff.
It really is at this point. So to be able to hit $1 billion.
But now, how much was the actual opening for Beauty and the Beast? Because that's a lot of people were predicting on that. I heard some numbers thrown around for it. I didn't know you didn't get that one.
No, because I was more concerned about the second weekend because we just hit it.
Go ahead and continue with your information while I look this up.
Okay, information while you look this up. It was a good opening, and
a lot of people
were there. It was in more than 4,000 locations.
Lots of little princesses were here.
A lot of princesses. Yeah. It was definitely a like mom or dad and daughter kind of movie. Like there was a high concentration of females in the audience,
which works for actually the story Vicky and I have when we actually saw it. We went and saw it at the Highland Theater here in Akron. Which, what do you got? Oh, yeah. They had a $170 million opening weekend.
That's
huge.
This country.
Yeah, that's just in America. Actually, according to this, opening weekend on Box Office Mojo is $174 million, almost $175. It's ranked number one for that weekend.
I mean, it pushed Logan out of first place.
Yeah.
I mean...
The next closest for the movies they have on the list here for this year, that's the highest release for any movie this year so far. Mm-hmm. The next closest was Kong Skull Island at $27 million. So this was a summer blockbuster release level of money. So Disney was once again printing money.
It's what they do best.
It's what they do.
But Vicky and I, we went to the Highland Theater. It was interesting because we walked. It was on a Saturday afternoon, and we saw there's two ladies out front. It's Belle and Cinderella. So they're taking pictures with all these girls in their princess outfits and stuff. And here it is. One of the local Catholic schools, St. Vincent, was having their father-daughter day at the Highland Theater, where they had had the princess come out. They had roses for the girls when they left. And it was just, it was a sweet thing. They everybody had like popcorn and stuff that was provided by the theater. It was a beautiful thing for them to do with the kids and stuff. And this is the perfect family movie, which is what Disney does with their musicals.
Yeah.
This was a classic. One of the things that works for this movie, it is a classic Disney musical. I mean, which is what the original one was. What?
Just keep going.
This is something between John and Pilot, I know. So, but Vicky, what was your impressions when we saw it this weekend?
It was super close to the cartoon.
Yeah?
Super, super close. A few things that were different, but it was super close.
Yeah, I've not seen the cartoon in recent enough to know what were the major differences.
They
fixed plot holes.
Yeah, okay. they added a song and put one song in to replace the one that actually got taken out of the original cartoon. Like they wrote a new song and put it in that place to explain like Beast's history.
Okay.
But it was mainly the original. Like they didn't even take the musical. Like the Broadway musical, they took it straight.
Yeah, they said they weren't going to use the Broadway musical numbers at all.
Cool.
So they didn't use any of those original songs, and they fixed certain plot holes. Like in the original cartoon, you never find out what happened to Belle's mom. So in this case, they had that extra little scene where, which was a weird little time travel-y thing they did.
Well, it wasn't
magic travel thing.
Yeah, it was a magic book that was given to him by the same enchantress that had cursed him.
Right, which seemed kind of odd.
Well, and it wasn't necessarily time travel.
No, it was just like location.
They just went to a location. Yeah. No one would have been there because of the plague. No one would have been there for years anyway.
Yeah, they
so
just
you found out that it was because of the plague, and that's why her father had to basically grab her and go and just disappear.
It was kind of cool the way they showed what actually happened originally, because before they actually said that, first thing she finds is this mask. And as soon as they see the mask, they know what happened. Because it's a doctor. He knew.
Beast picked it up.
It was the doctor, plague doctor's mask of the big, what is it, crow or something is what it looks
well,
like?
Well, they created it with a long nose so that they would put bouquet in it.
Yeah.
So it would keep away a lot of the germs and the smell.
But as soon as they picked up the mask, they knew what happened already.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, so it was. And Beast, well, it being a Disney movie, all the CG and everything looked phenomenal. Yeah. And,
they did really well with Beast. There were only a few moments where it looked a little awkward, but for the most part, he looked real. Like, he looked like he was really there.
Yeah.
And he was part of everything. And the way the actors reacted to him like at his height and things like that, they did really well.
Okay. Now I actually downloaded the soundtrack from the library.
Did they just CG him over top of the actual actor? Was he actually
They probably did.
I think the actor was in there, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, actually talking about the actors, we were looking, it's like most of the cast, if they were not a Hollywood actor already, they were Broadway. Or they had done a lot of music in their past.
Well, the Beast was from Downton Abbey.
Yeah, but no. If you look back farther, he was a classically trained theater actor.
Oh
also.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's where a lot of are, yeah. But like the lady who played the diva, and was actually
Audra McDonald.
Yeah, she was actually a diva.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I had to explain that to people because people think now diva is a totally different meaning, but the classical
it has
of a diva
meaning,
is the actual lead of the opera.
Yeah.
And that's what she does.
Exactly.
Operas, musicals.
Well, actually,
like
we
that.
Made it all the way through, and Kylan actually didn't realize that Lumiere was Ewan McGregor.
I didn't either.
Really?
I had forgot he was in it, but he had totally disappeared in that role.
Well, see, the thing is, though, like, Moulin Rouge is one of my favorite movies, and he sings a lot in that.
Yeah?
So I know his singing voice as well. Speaking voice. So...
And
him performing,
that I've seen that movie, I just still don't...
Ian McKellen, I didn't know until he changed back into the human.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his voice, he's good at disguising his voice. Like, he's,
The couple that I did notice was Kevin Kline. I recognized him, not immediately. When he had glasses on sitting there, I didn't recognize him. It was, I think when he was, first came out of the house getting onto the carriage, was where I recognized, and I didn't remember the name, but I knew him.
Emma Thompson was the obvious one.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just, like, Yeah, it's Alan.
The other, what was it, Stanley Tucci? I picked him up right away as soon as you saw him standing there. Mm-hmm. Or sitting there on the piano. Yeah. Or the harpsichord. But there was, just like a Disney musical, there was faces everywhere.
Yeah.
The one thing that, the big controversy for this one was Josh Gad's character, LeFou. But if you watch it, that's almost the exact same character that was in the original cartoon anyway.
They had a couple extra little things, but
it didn't really play it up any worse than what you saw originally.
And let me tell you, kids would not notice the difference.
No.
Kids are, and that's the problem. Like, they make a big deal over, oh my god, it's a gay character. Let me tell you, your kids aren't going to care, and they're not going to notice. Like, well, it's not going to...
I said this when they first announced that Disney did announce that as a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
Which I don't agree with at all. Having a gay character is not a problem. Mm-hmm. Having him in there, and the fact that he's there, but pointing it out, saying, hey, look, we got a gay character, it's the first time in a musical, that I have a problem with, because you're trying to get publicity
they didn't,
from doing
but
what
Disney,
should have been there
Disney
anyway.
Wasn't the one that was trying to get publicity for
I thought they were the ones that announced
Disney
it.
Disney didn't actually announce it. It was just there, and it was found out.
Oh, see, the way it looked, headlines I saw was
I mean, Disney is such a pro-LGBT company that they don't make big deals about these things.
Yeah, they shouldn't have made any big deal about it at all.
They
didn't.
They just had a Disney XD show probably about a month ago. The season finale had, like, a huge concert and kids in the audience and, like, suddenly, you know, all the couples kissed and there were three gay couples in the audience that kissed, and no one said a thing. No one even picked up on it because it was just so, you know, every day.
I had thought because of the headlines and stuff, it looked like Disney was pushing this.
No.
Okay. No, they were pushing
it. See, I was misunderstanding.
Because, I mean, quite honestly, it's the publicity they kind of didn't want because they knew certain countries would suddenly ban the movie if they did that.
Yeah.
And, like, because I think it was still it's still banned in Russia, I think. Yeah. You know, so they didn't want that to happen because that hits their pocketbook much bigger than any extra crowd they might get out of it.
At this point, even with censoring the internet and stuff, it's hard to keep it out of anywhere.
Right.
Someone's
going
to get
it in there.
The
thing I found interesting, though, is they made a big deal about LeFou being gay and all this, and then, you know, he dances with someone at the end. But in that final fight at the end when the wardrobe comes out and attacks those three guys, there is one of those guys who's all prettied up as a princess and damn happy about it.
That's the one that LeFou dances with at the end.
I know. Yeah. But no one says anything about the fact that he loves being in that princess dress.
The other one is, the one thing that was blaringly obvious to me because I know what time period this was, was how diverse the crowd was in there.
Yeah.
How many blacks and whites both were in. It's like, at that point in France, I don't think it was anywhere near that diverse.
Technically, no.
To me, it's very obvious because
Europe has always been more diverse than the U.S., though, in terms of way back.
But
so, but the interesting thing is one of the things they did change about Belle was to pointedly make her look more intelligent. Like, she was always intelligent as a character, and you always knew that because, you know, she was the bookworm and all that. But with her inventions, taking after her father that way, that kind of thing, I think Emma Watson had a specific role in putting that out there. She wanted her to be a little more of an inventor and to show her intelligence more aside from just reading a book.
And she refused to wear a corset and do that whole, like...
Exactly.
Like they did with Cinderella.
Yeah.
You know, super...
She's tiny enough as it is. Yeah. She didn't need the corset in that dress.
Actually, on that note, I fell in love with this movie, especially when you first walk into his library.
Okay, I got teary-eyed with that library scene
I
was waiting for it. Because you know in the cartoon, that's the thing. Give the bitch a library. Bitches love libraries.
Yeah.
That's what I was waiting for.
I
was just waiting for the scene. I'm like, oh my god, the library's coming. They're going to the library. They're going to the library.
And this was what you expect. If you've ever seen The Library of Your Dreams, or a lot of artists have painted like this. And it's the library that goes on for days.
And even better,
and it's two or three stories.
Even better, he knew where everything was.
Yes.
Not like he just had... You know, like, if you look at, like, Once Upon a Time, probably still think I didn't know where crap was. No, Beast knew where everything was in that library.
Because he read them all.
He used it.
Exactly.
Was she rearranging books? Because there was a one point where she's, like, putting all the books, and he just, like...
No, she was getting the books she wanted to read.
Because
he was holding those.
Because he was
holding
them. He was just like...
Well, I was going to say, with that, too, if you look at the time frame, he was not surprised.
with him being a prince and her just being basically a commoner that she could read, he wasn't surprised.
No.
When all the other village was just angry because she could read.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the headmaster at the village was all ticked off that she was teaching another girl to read.
Yeah, well, that I was telling Kyle, and I'm like, it's okay if you're a weirdo. Don't make anyone else a weirdo.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
I'm like, I still can't fathom living in a time where being literate was a bad thing. I'm
well,
just like,
technically, well, way back then in a small village.
For men, it was not a problem at all.
Exactly. It was the fact that she was female.
Well, that, and also, you got to think of being literate back then was your thought of, well, I spend all this time in the schoolyard and doing all my schoolwork and stuff and not learning how to fight and be a man.
But think about it.
That's what it was looked on then. You didn't spend your time learning how to fight.
You're not doing anything practical. You're not farming. You're not baking. You're
reading
not doing
has nothing
all of
to
that.
Do with
yeah.
that.
But then the Renaissance happened, and you had guys that
well, that
smart
was the Renaissance.
This is after the Renaissance.
But you had
this is a very small village in Disney.
Well, the one thing I did learn
it's stereotypes.
One thing that makes this a Disney movie over anything else was the one rule of all Disney fairy tales: true love's kiss fixes everything, no matter what. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
even though technically it didn't, because the witch was already after Rose.
See, that's what I was telling Kylan. I'm like, but wait a minute. This goes against what she said. Because the last petal drops, that was it, you were done.
Yeah.
But no, all of a sudden she changed the rules.
No.
I'm like, oh,
well,
look, she kissed him.
No. She was there to make sure that this was what she thought it was.
Yeah.
She saw this going on and she was ready for it. She's like, well,
she did,
if this is not what I think it is,
but she
let
still
it go.
Broke the rule because it had to happen before the last petal hit.
but
it didn't.
No,
she broke her own rule. She can do that.
They were in love before the last petal fell.
That's true. They were. They were in love.
But Beast never professed his feelings. He never actually told her.
Yes, he did.
He let her go. That was his.
Yeah.
But he never actually said
it. I know, never said it.
Yeah.
But him letting her leave. The fact that she returned was all that mattered.
He sang a heartfelt song when she left. That was him.
That's right. But the fact that he returned was the, or that she returned was the kiss wasn't necessary, except that it's a Disney movie.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, the fact that she returned to him was what caused the, that happened before the rose.
That's true.
Well, I'm just glad that they actually killed Gaston, because I swear, if it was going to be some case where, you know, people like...
No, I told you, Beauty and the Beast 2, Gaston's revenge. You did not see a body, okay? No, he fell, he dropped, and the castle rebuilt itself. He's in a dungeon down at the bottom, and everyone else came back to life. He's a zombie, and he's coming back, and he's getting all...
You think... Now, what kind of form would a Disney zombie take?
A very happy, cheerful one that sings a lot.
I don't think so.
Have we ever seen a Disney zombie? Yes,
yeah.
We have. Black Cauldron.
Well,
Black Cauldron and all kinds of zombies.
Technically speaking, The Corpse Bride was a zombie.
Yeah. Yeah, but was that technically Disney? That was Touchstone, wasn't it?
It was Tim Burton.
But it wasn't... Disney didn't release it.
No.
It was Touchstone.
Yeah.
It was the same...
Nightmare Before Christmas.
But that's not Disney official.
Disney did try,
it is
now
Disney.
That I think about it.
They picked it up afterwards.
They tried to do a, like, Teeny Bopper musical series about zombies, but it never got picked up because the Disney Channel was too smart.
See, no. Like I said, the Black Cauldron did have zombies.
Right.
Had that whole undead army.
Right.
But then again, I've said for years, the Black Cauldron, the reason it didn't work was that was a movie for Dungeons & Dragons kids in the mid-80s.
Well,
and no one was allowed to play Dungeons & Dragons.
Technically speaking, Pirates of the Caribbean.
There you go.
Yeah.
there you go.
I know it's not cartoon version, but...
And this next Pirates one, we get zombie sharks.
Exactly, zombie sharks.
Have you seen that in the trailer?
Uh-huh. Yeah, zombie sharks. We don't need zombie sharks.
Sharks aren't bad enough. We get zombie sharks.
Zombie sharks.
Hey, zombie shark trumps shark tornado.
Yeah, Sharknado.
Sharknado, yeah, absolutely.
Sharknado 10, the zombie apocalypse.
I think they did a good job overall with the movie, though, like showing it exactly what you saw in the cartoon version, like,
mm-hmm.
especially with the numbers like Be Our Guest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you know how hugely lavish it is, because when you're doing it in animated, you don't have to worry about the laws of physics or the laws of gravity or the laws of anything to show these plates dancing and all this stuff. And the way they did it on screen worked really well. Like, it was pretty amazing.
It was beautiful.
I felt bad for her in that scene, though.
She wasn't getting to eat. No. That's what I thought the whole time.
That's what it is.
They took it away, and she got, like, a little
She keeps putting her fork out, and then it disappears.
I love the whole Lumiere dancing through the kitchen, too.
Yes.
That whole thing where all the pots and pans
are
alive.
It was all, like, the old school Ziegfeld Follies.
Yes.
The Follies where they show from above with all the circles and stuff. Yeah, that's what it was.
Cool.
It was really cool.
Now, I don't remember. In the original movie, was the village she came from originally the village for his castle?
Yes.
I don't remember.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And this was the other plot hole they actually fixed. In the animated one, there's a very short time span from when he is cursed and when he's supposed to, like, become permanent, which is, I looked it up because I was confused by it too. It said the magic rose would bloom until the prince's 21st year.
Okay.
And the problem is that the song Be Our Guest says it's been 10 years since they were cursed, which means he would have had to have been about 10 years old when he got cursed.
Mm-hmm.
For them to be at the point where the rose was almost done. And so that's always been a timeline issue in the animated one. But in this one, they basically don't mention ages and times at all. Mm-hmm.
And he definitely doesn't look 10 at the beginning of that movie.
Yeah, exactly. No. And the other thing is that within the time span, the village is supposed to have forgotten about the castle. And that wouldn't happen within a few years' time.
Well, in this one, they did fix that because it was part of the curse that everyone would forget she existed.
It was kind of like a Sleeping Beauty sort of thing where the witch basically put everyone to sleep and then just let the rest of the village forget about it.
Well, no, I was going to say, yeah, because there was still people that worked in the castle and their husbands or wives were still in the village.
Yeah, Mr. Potts was in this
and he actually was still around. If I remember, he's not a character in the original one at all.
No, I don't think so. I think he shows up as one of, like, the background characters once she transforms back to being human.
Yeah.
In the final dance scene, they all kind of show up. But no, he's not specified in the original, but it was kind of interesting that he actually forgot his wife and kid completely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, because when he walked up to her, he was like,
that was actually
Mrs. Potts.
That character was the reason, was the one that points that out, that these people were originally from this area.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, just that one
they
character is what
the
they
village.
Used to fix that.
That's right.
Which is awesome.
Right.
So it could have been just a year or 5 years.
Yeah, it didn't have to be all that long. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking,
everyone in town aged.
So it
couldn't have been that long.
It would have had to have been a little while based on the way the castle looked on the inside.
Yeah. Also, you got to look at the Belle and her father, what's her dad's name again?
Maurice.
Okay, Philippe was the horse.
Yeah.
But they weren't living in the village originally.
That's true.
Right. So they had moved to the village.
That's why they didn't know about the castle anyway.
And in this, she's probably, 17, 18?
Yeah.
So it had been probably close to 20 years that this had happened. So, obviously Mrs. Potts had aged also, because when Mrs. Potts meets Mr. Potts, they're about the same age.
Yeah.
So even though Chip never aged.
And they said that, you never know, he might have been younger when he first started. He might have been a baby.
No, because he saw him.
Oh, that's true, you didn't see him.
So.
But the thing is, they let you know that time was moving because they said every time the petal dropped,
everybody
they would
older,
get a
yeah.
little more yeah. like the items they were.
Yeah.
You know, they like Cogsworth couldn't quite talk as clearly and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. That was something I would have liked to have seen just because of how smart they showed her to be. Like, at any point, like, suddenly Cogsworth couldn't move. Like, they couldn't, like, maybe add something like where she was able to fix Cogsworth.
Right, because her dad was working on all the clockwork kind of stuff, yeah.
Well, the one thing that was cool that I think they added to Maurice's character this is the fact that he's not just an inventor and a clockwork, he was actually an artist.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was an artist that learned clockwork and stuff after he had stopped.
Well, see, in the original, Maurice isn't really in it much aside from
the very beginning
going
the
off
end.
And getting captured. That's, you know, kind of what happens in a lot of the Disney movies. There's the one character that gets
but
the
But if I remember, he was a tinkerer of some sort.
Yeah,
then.
He was.
But
he
this
was.
Adding the whole thing that he was an artist and he gave that up after his wife died was awesome, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at how intricate the inside of that, the lighthouse
thing,
the windmill. Was it, that was beautiful.
And then you understand where it comes from when she goes and visits to find out that her mom died of the plague.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were in a windmill. That's where
they lived
in Paris.
Yeah.
But I think by the time you get to the end, they did, like, the effects were pretty amazing at the end when that final petal dropped and they all just became the items and they all went static.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like their faces disappeared and all. It just, it was just like, oh my God.
What's interesting is also you see that is like all of a sudden you like the wardrobe and Lumiere, you see what they actually should have looked like when they're not alive.
Right.
Yeah. And how it's beautiful, and then you see what the animators actually did, what parts were animated.
I have to say, though, oh my God, when the footstool dog came out and flipped upside down, I was like, don't you do that! I was like, the dog died!
It's a Disney movie, someone has to die. Right.
I mean, I knew technically they didn't die, but they really all died. Right. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he didn't have to go on his back.
Flip him over, like, oh my God! Don't flip the dog over with his... That was horrible. Never kill it. I can't watch movies where they kill the dog, okay? But then you know, as it should with happy endings and well, not exactly weddings, but happy endings and that with the movies, they all came back to life as the Enchantress brought them back and all that. And those were cool effects too, because they didn't completely transform all at once. Like their feet couldn't move and stuff, and then all of a sudden
the piano player without his teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, since he had taken all his teeth out, he didn't have them anymore.
But then he came back. I'm like, man, that's not fair. No, I was like, he gave up his teeth. He got the teeth back. He's okay. All right.
Well, the cool one is also the castle. The amount of damage that was done by Gaston and the Beast when they were fighting, and that was all repaired and back to 100%.
And speaking of the castle, the fact that the Disney opening of the entire movie was not the typical Cinderella castle logo, it was the Beauty and the Beast castle.
They've been doing that recently with a lot of their movies, especially with something that had, like, if you watch the Pirates movies, all of those have a weird piratey look to the castle and stuff. Tron did that with a totally special Tron-style Disney logo.
That's true, they did.
But, the fact is, though, Disney has the Beauty and the Beast castle.
Yeah.
So they could take the shot, and because that's the one that's in Disneyland Paris.
Okay.
So they actually have that castle. So I think
there's
cool.
There's only one Disneyland park, or there's two that have the same castle. All the rest are different.
Mm-hmm.
I think, what is it? Not Shanghai. Is it Tokyo that has the Cinderella same as Florida? I think Tokyo and Florida have the same castle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, they're all different.
Because was one of the first ones outside of...
Yeah, because I think California is Sleeping Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Shanghai has some kind of stylized Chinese-style castle. Yeah.
Mulan? Is it Mulan?
No, Mulan doesn't have a castle.
Well, no, so,
there's temples. They don't have a castle.
Well, in China, most of the temples look like castles to us.
Wow, yeah.
They look like that.
What? You guys speak up, Kyle?
Nothing.
No,
never
he's
mind.
Done. He's done. He's not
never
gonna
mind.
Well, speaking of that, we actually have... Now, this was the fifth or sixth in a series of Disney remakes of old classic animated movies.
This was the sixth.
Sixth, yes. Because we started... Most and the couple of lists I found actually didn't mention Alice in Wonderland, but that was technically the first of their remakes.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you started with Alice in Wonderland, you get Maleficent,
mm-hmm.
then we had Cinderella and Jungle Book, and then this is the...
And then Pete's Dragon.
Yeah, well, Pete's Dragon we had to list because that's a remake.
Yes, it is a remake.
And then we had Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, but they're not stopping here.
No.
And some of these, one of them, I'm wondering how in the world they're going to do this and actually get it right, because... The whole movie's based around a guy that's not even here anymore.
I have 13 on my list that they have on their list currently. So there's a lot of them going on. The very first that... it's sketchy whether they have a release date, because I found a release date, but then the most recent article I found said they don't have a release date.
Well, some of these also, the order's a little weird because you hear a lot more about some of the movies that are supposed to be coming behind them.
Yeah.
Like, so Dumbo's huge in the news right now.
That's because they're doing casting.
Aladdin has been huge in the news recently, which is... that's the one I'm wondering. They're doing a live-action Aladdin. How are you going to do this without Robin Williams? Because most of the lines for Genie were not written for Genie.
Because it probably won't have much of Genie in it because of who's doing it.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and originally they were going to make just a Genie-centric movie.
Yeah, they were
going
to do a Genie spin-off.
And they decided not to do that.
Yeah, because like I said, the character of Genie, most of those lines that were written for Genie originally were not used in the movie.
Yeah.
Because Robin had come up with such better stuff.
Right. Speaking of, so zombies.
Disney could do that. That's what I said. It's like, Carrie Fisher may have been the first person to ever figure out how to get out of one of those Disney contracts.
That's right.
But that's no guarantee. We may still see her somewhere at some point.
But anyway, the first one supposedly coming down the pipe will be Mulan.
Okay.
That's the one that I found that may or may not have a release date, because it says, I found November 2nd, 2018.
See, I see that as being one of the easier ones to do, because most of that is live-action people.
Right, but the problem is they haven't even done any casting or anything yet, so that's why I'm doubtful about it being
done. They're having issues with casting on that one still, too.
Well, they haven't even decided whether it's going to be a musical or not.
Yeah, they said, the last thing they said was that it wouldn't be, and then they said, but that might change.
Well, I'm thinking after the release of Beauty and the Beast and seeing what this did with being a musical, they're going to change a lot of things.
The thing is, I would love for Mulan to not be a musical. Like, yeah. I would so love for it to actually be just the story that it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, some of these other ones, like Aladdin, Lion King, and like Little Mermaid, I think those should be what this was.
Well, I think they've already established that they are going to be musical
versions. Okay, like I said, those ones should be done the same way this was, almost a shot-for-shot replica.
See, the thing is, for Mulan, they originally asked Ang Lee to take it, and he passed on it.
I said, that could be an interesting direction with seeing some of what he's done with other things.
But most recently, they've been looking at the one who directed Whale Rider, mm-hmm. which would work really well, because that's another female legend story.
Okay.
That she did. It's a native of, is it New Zealand that one's based on? It's a few years ago. So it depends. So they really don't even have the crew together yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're going to make it for November next year.
John Woo. I would love for John Woo to do it.
No, John Woo.
Yes. Yes.
Well, yeah, but you're going to get your John Woo equivalent with the one who's doing Aladdin, because it's Guy Ritchie.
Oh.
And this is the whole point. Guy Ritchie does street hustlers and gangsters.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
And that's why he's perfect for Aladdin.
Yeah. Okay.
For me, Aladdin still needs to be the musical Aladdin.
I don't think it needs to be a musical necessarily, but they have said it will be a musical.
So does this mean that we're actually going to get Alibaba and the 40 Thieves?
I don't know.
I want to.
The interesting thing is it's being written by the one who did Big Fish.
Okay.
Which was kind of a fantastic fantasy movie.
Yeah. I've not seen it. I've heard it's really good.
Yeah. It's actually pretty deep for a fantasy.
Okay. Lion King, I think, is coming at some point. Do we have any kind of information on that one?
Well, Lion King, they're looking at Jon Favreau, who did Jungle Book.
Yeah.
So he could do the animal movie perfectly well.
The problem with that one is, it's like, how can you call that one actually a live-action movie? You can call it 3D. But there's no characters in there that will be actual on screen. That's going to be completely CG because there's no human characters in it.
Right. No, but, technically, though, Jungle Book could have not had Mowgli in it, and it was...
Like, yeah. That's what I was wondering with that one. Is like the only live-action character in that entire... Well, until you got to the couple human scenes in it.
Right.
But the rest of it was all CG.
I mean, technically, it's CG, but it looks live-action.
Yeah.
That's what we're going with.
Mm-hmm. Well, which is interesting to see that we can do that with film now, where you can have a completely CG movie... And it looks like you can walk out and see this outside.
Now, the amazing thing about Lion King, which, again, is supposed to be a musical, they've already cast Donald Glover as Simba.
I can see that, yes.
And the one that we need in this movie, as Mufasa, James Earl Jones.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
There's no way they couldn't. He's still around.
There's one and only.
Exactly. This is why they have to get shooting on this one now, because he's getting up there.
They couldn't even replace him in the Lion King cartoon.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, I want Giancarlo...
Esposito?
Giancarlo Esposito to
Esposito.
Esposito to be Scar. I don't know why, but I would want him to be Scar.
I don't see why they don't just get Jeremy Irons to be Scar. He's still around too.
Yeah.
He did the original so well.
He did a really good evil Scar.
Scar was pretty awesome.
But then again, Jeremy Irons does evil really well.
Yeah, he does.
So one of the things that he knows how to do.
So I'm kind of surprised they haven't already said Jeremy Irons is Scar.
He's one of the he's one of the few things that was good in the original Dungeons & Dragons movie. Him in it.
Now, another interesting one that will not be a musical and is being done by Tim Burton.
Yeah, this
is
weird.
Dumbo.
That's another one where I'm wondering, like, how do you do this online?
Well, Well, it's not difficult to do live, actually, because they're obviously going to focus on the circus.
Yeah.
And doing a Tim Burton creepy kind of circus would work.
Yeah. That's what's going to be weird. Well, no, actually, that will work for Dumbo, because out of all the... That's the creepy of the Dumbo,
yeah.
The Disney movies.
Imagine that Dumbo, like... Drug scene.
The pink elephant. No. Imagine
elephants
Tim
on parade.
They gotta do it a musical thing because you gotta have the pink elephants on parade.
Well, no, the thing
done
is
in
though,
Tim Burton style.
The thing is though, Dumbo was never really much of a musical.
It no,
had
it had two
songs,
or three songs in it.
But that's just it. So yeah. They could still do it that way.
Dude, now you know what's the problem with that though is the fact that they're gonna try to have this as a family movie, and that being a drunken baby elephant really doesn't kind of work for family movie these
no,
days.
No, they can't
they can
do
still
it.
Make it PG.
Yeah. They,
I don't know.
They
it'll
can
work.
Get away with it in the 30s and 40s. But
it's an animal being drunk. It's okay.
It's okay. Send the elephant to a 12-step program afterwards. It'll be just fine.
If my dog can be drunk, that elephant
what?
Can be drunk.
I love you, Bart. You magnificent
you're
going to
get Cheetah come chasing after you.
Well, I can't. I'll explain it later.
This is why Dumbo has been in the news recently, though. Just this week, over the past week, they've talked about Colin Farrell possibly being cast in it.
Okay.
So that's why it's been in the new in the blogs.
So you're gonna play the rat?
He's in. No, that I don't know if they're doing the rat thing at all.
What?
Because he's in negotiations to play someone named Holt, who's a widowed father of two kids from Kentucky.
What?
I told you this.
That has nothing to do with Dumbo.
See, this they're going to change the story. But one of the cast, one person already cast is Danny DeVito. So I'm wondering if he's going to be the mouse or if he's going to be the ringmaster.
Yeah.
So
ringmaster.
Well, maybe he could be Dumbo.
Yeah, he could still
well,
be.
Well, no,
or
Dumbo
mouse.
Doesn't. Well, originally Dumbo doesn't speak.
Yeah, Dumbo doesn't all. Speak. He's just there.
He squeaks. He squeaks some and toots a little.
But Groot doesn't really speak either.
He does. Groot talks a lot.
Groot talks.
One
it's
word
just,
at a time.
Yeah, it's just a very limited vocabulary.
So Dumbo talk.
Another one that's going to be a different take on the original is Christopher Robin.
Yeah, I heard about that one.
Obviously, it's based on Winnie the Pooh. And
was this
it,
one Tim Burton also? I don't remember.
No, it's Mark Forster.
Because this is the one I want to see as Tim Burton.
Who did? But Mark Forster did Quantum of Solace and Finding Neverland. Neverland was pretty good. Yeah, so he's got that kind of background.
Quantum of Solace wasn't terrible, but it was
it's kind
the
of an odd combination
the,
that this guy did both
yeah.
of those movies.
It's the lowest of the current Bond films, but it still wasn't terrible.
Yeah, so the thing is, the premise sounds a lot like Hook. Because it's an older Christopher Robin, and Pooh Bear shows up at his doorstep one day looking for help. So it sounds like Hook to me. Just like he's,
dude, Pooh Bear shows up on the step, half leaning on the doorstep. He's had a little bit too much honey.
That's
oh, bother.
Huh? What's the one bear that does that?
Paddington.
No. The other one that got in trouble.
What are you talking about?
Because he stole the quarterback's sperm.
What? What are you talking about?
What?
What cartoon are you talking
that's
about?
That's a totally different movie.
That's not on this podcast.
Yeah.
That's a different movie. She'll find it. But imagine that a half-drunk Pooh Bear shows up and... Oh, father, we need you back.
Because they said something about, like, Christopher Robin has grown up and he's a businessman
yeah.
and he's forgot his, you know, childhood and all that. And I'm like, that sounds like Hook. That is Hook.
Yeah,
that is Hook.
Okay, you're not going off to Neverland, but that's Hook. Which, I mean, is not a bad... Hook is a good movie.
Oh, Ted.
Ted,
the drunk, yeah, the drunken Ted.
See,
bear.
I didn't see that on purpose.
We saw the first one. We didn't see the second one.
Second one is good, mainly because it's all about civil rights.
Okay.
But he steals the quarterback's
spot. You saw the second Ted?
Yeah, I had a free movie channel one weekend. And it
as,
was
as a digression on this, Sausage Party is on Netflix right now.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Did you see that it's there, or did you
no,
see
I saw
it?
That it's there.
Okay.
No, that's one that actually looked funny.
I've heard it's wrong in so many... One of my coworkers, she couldn't get halfway through. She's like, no, I gave up. She's like, I couldn't do
see,
it.
I can turn off the part of the brain that gets truly offended and just laugh at it because it's stupid funny.
Right.
You have to be... Movies like that, you have to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Because if you get offended easily, you can't watch any of those movies.
Yeah.
Okay. True.
So you just kind of... You know that's what that is, so you shut that part of the brain off and you just enjoy the ride.
Now, two that we have that are obviously related, there's going to be one for Peter Pan and one for Tink.
Yeah, I heard
Tink
about that.
Tink gets her own. The thing is, for Peter Pan, they've done so many versions
didn't
of Peter
Disney
Pan.
Didn't Disney just do a Peter Pan not that long ago?
It wasn't Peter Pan. It was Pan was not Peter Pan.
But wasn't
from
it Disney?
It wasn't Disney.
Oh, okay.
Disney,
yeah.
No. But it didn't do very well. So they may not want to be looking at doing a Peter Pan movie. Tink, on the other hand, is supposed to have Reese Witherspoon in it.
Okay.
Actually being Tinkerbell.
Okay.
I don't know, but I don't know if it's the sort of thing where she's actually going to like dress as the character or something, or if it's going to be like a tiny version and she voices it, which would make a lot more sense.
She's going to be like but... Julie Roberts Tinkerbell?
That Tinkerbell worked really well in Hook, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hook was a whole lot better than it ever needed to be.
But it's supposed to give like the whole background of Tink as a character, which if you've seen some of those straight-to-video movies, that you get that story already.
They're good.
But
yeah,
they are good, though.
Not bad.
The first Tinkerbell movie they did was actually pretty good. We also have Oliver Twist, which I told you about.
That's
which,
not really a remake, though.
Yeah.
Because
Disney did Oliver
and
Company.
Oliver and Company.
Disney did their own version of Oliver and Twist called Oliver and Company, and now they're doing Oliver Twist as a hip-hop spin with Ice Cube.
Yay, yay.
So this is going straight to Disney Channel, right?
Can we make Ice Cube just play a dog, then?
Ice Cube is playing Fagin.
What?
I'm just going there.
So is this like the like when the 80s did the Wizard of Oz
check yourself before you wreck yourself? Do you check yourself?
It's like when they did, what's her face? Didn't Brandy play Cinderella in one of the movies a while ago?
Like I said, is this one a straight? This sounds like something in the 90s, early 2000s, straight to Disney Channel.
Dude, Ice Cube gonna come to Akron. He gonna come looking for you. You gonna be like, break yourself, son.
Yeah, hey, so there's that. There's also the one that I found interesting because it's the different style of animation that Disney did anyway, was James and the Giant Peach. Which
was that from Disney?
Yeah.
The animation was, it's based on a Roald Dahl story.
Yeah. I didn't know Disney released that one.
Yeah, that Disney did that one.
See,
and
I thought that was another one from...
Interestingly, the writer for it is Nick Hornby.
See, I like Nick Hornby.
He did High Fidelity.
Yes.
Okay.
And A Battle Boy.
And Sam Mendes is set to direct it.
Okay.
Who did Skyfall and
a
lot of stuff.
Bond director.
It's really like super, super early, but the fact that they actually have a writer and director for it is pretty good. Which, being a Roald Dahl story, if you've seen James and the Giant Peach,
it is weird.
It's not normal, and I almost think this should be the Tim Burton one. Yeah. But
well, we have seen, though, looking at way back in the 70s, starting with Willy Wonka, that Roald Dahl stories can be translated to live action.
They can.
And actually done well without being as weird and trippy as
the
original.
This will
made.
Be another one that's CGI, though. Like, if you've seen it, first of all, there's a giant
peach.
Parts
of it.
There's a lot of insects.
Yeah.
There's a lot, you know. Like,
the original CG version of it was really weird.
Yeah, yeah. So
but they don't have to focus on that side of it as much. I don't know.
That's true. Another one is, which is kind of like a second version of something they've already done, is Cruella. Because, they've already done 101 Dalmatians.
That's why they did 102 Dalmatians. They did about three of them total.
Three, okay. Mm-hmm. Which, at least the first, I didn't see the second, but the first one was pretty good.
Yeah.
But this is supposed to be in the same vein as a Maleficent sort of thing, where it's her beginnings, which I'm kind of interested because they've never gone back. It's like, how did Cruella become this, animal-hating individual that wanted all this fur,
This is a... When Maleficent first came out, there was the theory coming out, or the rumor coming around, that Disney was looking at doing a series of villain movies like this, showing the more, not as a villain, but more as an anti-hero,
which
is what Maleficent is in that movie.
Right.
I actually enjoyed that part of it because it was a different version of the story.
They were inspired by Wicked for this because that was the first one with the book and the Broadway show showing what the Wicked Witch was really like and why she became what she became and that kind of thing. So they were kind of inspired by that to begin with. Interestingly, this is supposed to so far have Emma Stone in it.
Okay.
She's apparently supposed to be Cruella. Hmm. And it was originally...
I think they got Cruella dead on in the first movie.
With Glenn Close?
Yeah, Glenn Close.
Yeah.
That was Cruella straight off of the cartoon into the screen.
But, I mean, you're looking at a younger one now.
Yeah.
So, but the first one to take a crack at the script was apparently the Aileen Brosh McKenna, who wrote Devil Wears Prada, which I haven't seen the movie, but having seen the commercials with Meryl Streep as, like, super business bitch, like, that seems to be something
that's
Cruella
to
Bill.
Yeah.
And then, actually, someone was brought in for a rewrite, Kelly Marcel, who was the screenwriter behind Fifty Shades of Grey? But also,
Disney's bringing him in to do a family movie.
But also, Saving Mr. Banks.
Yeah, I've not seen that one, but it's supposed to be
Disney related,
too.
Right? But I just thought he
Disney related. That was all about. That's about Walt Disney himself.
Exactly. So he did both of those, apparently, though.
That was what I heard. That Saving Mr. Banks was actually a bucket list movie, I guess, for Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
He had said at some point he wanted to play Walt Disney.
He's always been very into Disney. Okay, I've only got three more left on the list. The Little Mermaid, which we all know, is coming.
And like I said, that's one that needs to be almost a shot-for-shot remake.
Well, yeah, and if you consider that it's... they've already said the original songwriter, Alan Menken, is returning.
They had
for
that.
The songs.
He did that for Beauty and the Beast.
And alongside Lin-Manuel Miranda, who's apparently a Little Mermaid super fan, and he will also produce it.
Okay.
Well, so there were many Little Mermaid references in Moana, which he wrote the music for.
Right.
So.
Right.
Okay.
And the interesting thing is there's another Little Mermaid movie coming out.
Yes, I heard about this.
That it's not Disney related, but of course, because it's not called Little Mermaid.
It's called Little Mermaid, but it's supposed to be based on Hans Christian Andersen's story.
You've seen the trailer, it's not.
Yeah.
It's
horrible, isn't it?
It's really not. It's like a little more present day. Anyway.
So have they cast who's going to be? I know who the perfect one would be. The one that was in the show when we went to see Disney. When we went to Disney.
Yeah, because her shells runneth over.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's why she's the perfect one.
No, that's not why.
No, that's not why
at all.
No,
that's not why at all.
It may be a contributing factor, but it's not why.
She did a really good job.
She did.
Excellent singer.
She can. She really can project.
What,
y'all?
My second to last one here. And, of course, these are in no particular order because they've all got to be announced for release dates.
Yeah, there is no release dates announced for any of this.
Pinocchio is another one.
That one, I don't know.
It depends what
they
do.
That's another one that they could almost go Tim Burton with.
They really could.
Because there's some really trippy, weird stuff in that one.
What they do with Pinocchio as a puppet, and yeah, there was that whole donkey thing on Pleasure Island.
Yeah,
it could be a Kevin Smith movie from. There was a donkey show.
There was a donkey show.
They called it a donkey show. Yeah, they did.
Pinocchio. There was. You sure it was Tijuana?
No,
it was Pleasure Island, and that's why the place at Disney used to be called Pleasure Island, because it was based on
Pinocchio.
But if you actually watch Donkey Show when we were there.
If you watch Pinocchio, the original one, though, there's really not a lot of good morality stuff in this.
It's horrible. And it's only because, you know, he does one or two good things, like, he's a real boy, okay.
Wait, but put that song Real Boy in there from the Teen Titans. That'd be good right there.
I'm a real boy. I'm a real boy.
Boy.
Yeah.
Kids, do not Google donkey.
Hey, kids, don't. Whatever you do, now listen to Uncle Kylan, all right? Now, if you guys are curious, here's rule number one. Don't go Google anything that we talk about on the show. especially donkey shit.
Except Disney. Just Google Disney.
Just Disney.
That's
Google
all you get
Disney.
To Google after this episode.
That's it. Don't ask about donkey show. You don't need to know about
it. I think we're going down to a really...
I only have one movie left. Let me get to it.
One movie left, kids.
This one could actually turn out really super awesome. The Sword and the Stone.
Oh, yes.
And, that could be.
And not only that... But one of the primary writers on Game of Thrones is writing the screenplay.
Well, the only thing... I enjoyed Sword of the Stone originally. I was really disappointed when it stopped. Because you get to the end of the story, it's all going really good, and all of a sudden, it's over. What?
Right.
Wait a minute.
It's a sudden ending. Yeah.
Where's the rest of it?
There's the loophole they have to fill.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot they can fill in on that one.
I think that's why I actually liked... when I first saw it, between that one and Black Cauldron, because it came out... rather close to each other.
Yes.
I like Black Cauldron better myself.
Right.
But you had actually... But then you... It's,
which and Black Cauldron is not on the list. And that's...
Well, Black Cauldron is still seen as one of the worst Disney movies ever.
And the thing is, though, it could make an excellent live-action movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, there's so much fantasy involved in it.
Maybe if they, like, took the rest
of it. They need to remake the Black Hole. They need to remake the Black Hole. Oh, my God, that movie scared the crap out of me.
The Black Hole could be... like Disney's first sci-fi horror movie.
It scared the crap out of me. I mean, it scared the crap out of me.
Actually, from what I've heard, the one that was supposed to scare the crap out of everybody was, what was it, Into the Woods? Was it late 70s, early 80s, live action?
No, Watcher in the Woods.
I've never seen it, but I've heard it's like that.
They made, okay.
An actual Disney made
kids horror movies. Like, they really did in the 70s and early 80s.
But that's the one that actually worked.
One of my favorite movies from back then was Something Wicked This Way Comes. That is not a kid's story.
Oh, no.
And Disney turned it into a movie. It's a Ray Bradbury short story. And it's complete horror, and Disney turned it into the most awesome movie.
See, that's why, it's like, I want to see Watch in the Woods, because from what I've heard, that one actually works as a horror movie.
It does. It really does.
Well, there was this one scene, and I hope I'm remembering this right, in the black hole where, right, there was this one robot, this those are like hole. Over all the robots, and he had these blades. And they showed,
yes.
And I remember it right. Oh my god! I remember watching this as a kid. I'm just like, it's my entire world. That's like,
robots weren't nice.
Yeah, that's when I knew you couldn't trust robots. You could not trust robots.
Well, between that and the ice pirate scene, the processing scene, the ice pirates, the Jaws.
Oh, yeah, no. See, I didn't have to worry about it. I didn't see that till later. That would mess me up.
We're putting that on a list. We're talking Ice Pirates at some point.
Yes. That was a good movie.
I know, it was.
Didn't we talk about that?
No. We talked to Buckaroo Banzai.
We never actually talked about Ice Pirates.
No, we didn't.
We all watched it together. We never actually talked about it.
You'd never seen that before we showed it, did you?
That's right.
Right.
Okay. We got to talk Ice Pirates.
Okay, so we have made it through the list that I found of the, what was it, 13 or whatever.
I have not heard any other ones. So you had a couple I'd not heard of yet.
Yeah,
I actually did some research this time.
If we find out some more, and of course, when we find out the dates and more news on some of them, we'll be sure of it anyway.
So, the one thing actually that I was impressed back to Beauty and the Beast for just a second was the week before it came out, I checked my Hoopla app because that's where you get all the Disney or the digital downloads from the libraries and stuff. Mm-hmm. They actually had the soundtrack for Beauty and the Beast, 53 tracks on that thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's like, and you watch the movie, that's not nowhere near that much music in the movie.
Well, that's got the actual music in it.
Yeah, it's the mix of the instrumental and the songs. And a lot of them are really short. There's a lot of little snippets.
There's also there's two or three of the same song on it sometimes, because it's a different version of someone else singing it. Like, I saw Celine Dion was on this. Did they have her come back and redo the song again, or was that the
original
song?
We don't want to talk about Celine Dion.
No. The question was, did she come back and do it again, or did they just re-release the original song?
I think they re-released it.
They re-released the original song, but the song at the end of the movie was a new one from Celine Dion.
Oh, okay. Because I knew she was on the soundtrack. That's the only reason I asked.
Don wasn't happy.
And we're sitting there because we want to find out everyone who's in the movie, even though we knew most of them. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm listening to Celine Dion. I can't
It's better than who they got to actually redo the main theme.
Well, that's true. We were walking out as Ariana Grande started, and I'm like, no! No!
But it's like all Disney movies, the credit scene was beautiful too.
Yes.
The way they did the credit scene was phenomenal. Especially when they show the actors' names, and instead of showing who it was, they just kind of showed the name and then gave artist interpretation of what the character was or something.
Right.
It was sweet the way they did that. But overall, being that we're doing a movie, we've got to break out the brownie meter.
We do.
So this one I think is going to score pretty high. So let's start, Vicky. Out of 5 brownies, what do you got?
Out of 5 or out of 10?
No, it's out of 5.
4.
4 brownies? Okay.
I would have given 8, but you and I only could go to 5.
I think for what this was, being grading it as an awesome musical, I give it a 5 out of 5 for a musical.
Wow.
For a Disney musical. This hit everything that made it. If you think of a Disney musical, this hit everything right, perfectly down the score.
Well, they have said that Beauty and the Beast is considered pretty much Disney's finest movie
Now, it's always subjective, but if you look at most benchmarks, Beauty and the Beast is the benchmark for what you set for where you grading your musicals and stuff. So, Kyla, what do you got? 5 out of 5 brownies.
Number one, it's not my type of movie. You understand that.
We already know that.
Yeah,
this is knowing that you guys, it's weird that this is Dawn's type of movie.
Number two, I was a fan of the animated version. Okay. Uh-huh. Having those two qualifiers, I give it 4.5.
4.5?
Yes.
What do you got, Miss Dawn?
I will go with 4.5 because 4.5? of I don't like, just in terms of a movie, it was enjoyable anyway. I always have little tweaky problems with movies anyway. So, but as a reflection of the original and how well they put the animated version on a live action screen.
Yeah.
Definitely, it's a solid 4.5. A solid 4.5.
Awesome. So the Geek Watch 1 Brownie Meter puts it at right about 4.5. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. That ranks it up with some of the best movies we've reviewed so far. So, but before I wrap this up, anybody else got anything else before I wrap this up tonight? We're here live at the Multi People.
We're a smaller crowd than last time.
Yeah,
everyone's chill.
So, well, Geeksters, remember, you can always find us at GeekWatch1.com on all social media. We're GeekWatch1. As Dawn has us on, if you can search GeekWatch1 anywhere, you'll find us. She's made sure that anybody else who had GeekWatch 1 no longer has it. Now, you can take that any way you want.
They're no longer heard from, but I'm not saying anything.
Yeah.
But then we're... also, you can get us at geekwatch1@gmail.com.
Yep.
We're members
of still haven't had any emails. Come on, people.
I can't be the only one who emails Dawn.
I get Bart's blogs. That's my emails. Bart's and Kylan's. Kylan emails me his blogs.
Another thing we need is we need some friends. It's been a while since we asked for this. We need some iTunes reviews.
Mm-hmm,
we've got like three
true.
iTunes
been
reviews
a while.
In two and a half.
It's been a long time.
Hey, you know what? We did have a monumental moment about 2 weeks ago. We didn't say anything about it, but we broke 400 likes on Facebook. Yeah. Now, anybody out there who decided they're going to be a hater and take away 4, I'll find you. Me and Bart, we're going to gas up. Me and
John's
going
to go take away luck now because you said that.
Well, actually, no. There's some news that we forgot to mention earlier.
What?
Check out the Doctor Who Show music edition that came out last week.
Yep.
And you'll actually hear Geek Watch 1 on it.
That's right. It came
out. I hope no one sees Geek Watch 1 on it.
Probably. You don't want to see Geek Watch 1 on it. It came out over the weekend, and it's our buddies with AM Audio Media, and it's all about Doctor Who music. We posted it on our Facebook page, and I tweeted about it. And I forgot to do it on the weekend, but I'll probably throw it up on the website just so it's a place to find it.
Okay. So check that out.
It's everywhere. Find it, especially if you love Doctor Who and music. And if you're a good American, Canadian, Australian person, European person of the world. I'm trying to cover all the bases.
They did this some, though. Because I thought of several bands they did not mention on.
Oh.
Right. Well, they had a set time. Time zone there.
Well, to finish wrapping this up, remember we're part of the Tangibound of Weedy Geeks Networks.
Do you know what we're part of?
I don't know. This show has been so far all over the place that all I can say is
you're listening to a Weedy Geeks Network
myself,
podcast.
Just remember...
No matter where you go, there you are.